was Summertime by Buchanan, right here on Book Choice on Fine Music Radio, despite the fact that it's actually wintertime. But maybe some of these books are so hot right now, they'll bring warmth to your homes. You are tuned into Fine Music Radio, which is your calm in the chaos. And our show today, which is sponsored by Exclusive Books, has been bookended by some very fine music, thanks to Mzuma Keta, who collates and compiles all the music for our show today. He also wrangles together all these segments. And this month in particular, he's been very patient with me. So thank you, Mzu, for everything you do. Because he's tireless, Mzu will also be posting podcast shorts of each of the segments from today's show on fmr.co.za straight after the show. So if there was a segment you missed, or if you heard something you want to listen back to, or if you heard something that you think a friend might enjoy, you can go to fmr.co.za, find the short, and send it on to a friend. Also, give us a like and a share on social media. We'd love to hear about what you're reading. So now we find ourselves in the final segment of today's show, and we are being joined by another book person of note and my book bestie, Vanessa Levenstein, who I can see she's WhatsApping me as I'm recording this, and we talk about books in WhatsApp all day. It's like a big book club in our WhatsApp chat. Today, Vanessa Levenstein is going to be chatting to a very interesting author. Rebecca Morn Brown has brought out a book that has, in a very short space of time, found its market and become very sought after. It's called My Feelings Journal. It's currently out in English and Afrikaans, and as we speak, is being translated into as many other South African languages as they can manage. I was at a literary festival recently where this book sold out almost immediately, and parents were literally scratching each other's eyes out to get their copy. It's come at such an important time for teens who are really dealing with the most. So this is an important book, and I think we're quite lucky to hear straight from Rebecca Morn Brown about how she came up with the idea, how she published it, and why she thinks it's hit such a big market. Welcome to the show, Vanessa and Rebecca.
On the shelves at Exclusive Books is something quite different. My Feelings Journal. It's exactly what it says it is. A journal where primary school children can explore and express their feelings. This half A4-sized book is filled with spaces for children to reflect, along with exercises to meditate on and activities to help them navigate their emotional world. It's a little book to help with big feelings, and it says that on the cover. Joining us today are author Rebecca Morn Brown and learner Isla Cameron. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank Great you. To be here.
Starting with Isla, who's much closer to the age group that this book is written for than I am, what were your impressions?
Well, when I first looked at the My Feelings Journal, I expected it to be another journal where children simply write about their day. Instead, I found that it is much more interactive and practical than that. One feature I particularly liked is the Daily Feelings Tracker. Rather than just asking, how do I feel today, children choose two emotions, explain why they feel that way, and then assign each feeling a color. At the end of every 20 days, they color in a chart and look for patterns in their emotions. It encourages reflection without making it feel overwhelming. Another section I really found valuable was the practical toolbox at the end of the journal. Instead of only talking about emotions, it teaches children what they can actually do when they are struggling. For example, it includes box breathing, the Take 5 breathing exercise using your fingers, muscle relaxation, guided meditation, and movement. I also appreciated that many of the activities can be done at home with parents or independently. The gratitude pages, mindfulness coloring, and routine section encourage children to build healthy habits into everyday life instead of only thinking about their feelings when something goes wrong, which will stand them in good stead as they get older. Overall, I think the My Feelings Journal is effective because it goes beyond simply asking children to write about their feelings. It helps them recognize patterns, understand why they feel the way they do, and gradually build a toolbox of practical skills that can help them become more self-aware and better able to regulate their emotions. In a time when more and more young people are experiencing anxiety, I think resources like this are incredibly valuable.
That was an incredibly valuable review. Thank you so much. Welcome, Rebecca. I want to jump right in here with this question. It's a fantastic journal, but I've just got one red flag. What happens if there's a child doing this book at home and they bring up feelings that are just too overpowering, too overbearing? What do they do then?
It's a great question. Thanks. The hope is that this child has gotten curious enough about their feelings, that they're writing about them, they're coming up, but they're also encouraged to get support. I think part of the feelings tracker page about what makes me happy, no matter if I'm feeling up or down, starts to signal at that, as well as the gratitude reflections. What a lot of children note is that they are grateful for the adults, the caring adults in their life. And so the hope is that they would then take these feelings and share them with a grown-up in their life. In the beginning of the book, the child is encouraged to know that this book is private and belongs to them, and they can share as much or as little as they want, but that it is a way to connect with other people. So that could be a counselor, that could be a parent. Some schools are using this through their counseling department, and the counselors have found that to be an entree to conversations when feelings are bigger and need a little bit more support than what a child can or should hold on their own.
I think that's fantastic that it's being used in schools in a counseling environment, which is in and of itself a holding space.
Right.
Isla, what would you like to ask?
Well, immediately what I wanted to know was what inspired you to create this?
It's a great question, because I think most books have a reason why the author wrote them. This book began 5 years ago as a labor of love for my daughter. It was at a time where she was working to better understand her emotions and to engage with them more meaningfully. I think about it as an analogy that she was a painter, but she only had red paint. So everything she had was red. And similarly with feelings, if you have a limited vocabulary for them, if you only have the words, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm angry, your feelings and how you experience the world and how you think about your experiences of the world are going to be happy and sad and angry. And if you can cultivate a better language around feelings and begin to scratch beneath that initial surface of angry, maybe you see that angry is actually hurt because somebody didn't play with you at school. Maybe angry is disappointed because the grade that you got on an assignment wasn't what you hoped it would be. So getting a broader kind of vocabulary for it also helps with inquisitiveness and a better sort of sense of themselves. And so this began as a book I made for my daughter. I've got a background in social work and public health, so I drew upon that. I got input from a school counselor and a behavioral scientist to help kind of craft a book that was meaningful and that the routines that you're starting to develop are sticky. I wanted children to get into them and have them maintain them over time. And this book was then picked up and developed a momentum of its own. So it was used in several schools in two provinces in South Africa and now is published by Penguin Random House as of last month.
Well done. Wow. I'm fascinated by art therapy, music therapy as well. In fact, I'm fascinated by how the arts are healing modalities. And I can't help but notice using a lot of art in your book.
That was part of the intention. The book is generally geared for grade 1 through 5 age learners, although I will confess, and you both have seen that I have my copy with me that I write in myself. These skills are not just for children. It helps any of us to express our feelings and get a little bit curious about them. But in thinking about grade 1 through 5 age learners, you're in a period of time where writing skills are still very much developing, and you have early readers and writers, and you will have later bloomers in reading and writing. And I didn't want that ability to be a barrier to engagement. So children can express through pictures, through colors, and are encouraged throughout the book to engage however makes the most sense for them. If they want to lean into pictures and colors and drawing, great, that's wonderful. What many of the schools have shared is that they find as the children get older, it goes from a very picture-based kind of utility to a Dear Diary kind of long, flowing scripts, pouring one's heart out into it. So it really can transition with children as they go. And at the end, the book is a record of their progress and their development. Where was I 3 months ago or 3 years ago?
And I was also wondering, do you think that the book is equally accessible to both girls and boys?
That's a great question. I tried to make it in a gender-neutral format. Originally, no, I didn't. I made it for my daughter. So her favorite color is blue. Her favorite animals are cats. Her favorite flowers are sunflowers. The original manuscript was full of the things that she loved. In working with Penguin on the redesign, we kept some of the original elements, but had a very keen eye to keeping it gender neutral. So the coloring in pages that are part of the mindfulness exercises at the back of the book are just things that any child would like. Mm. The font, the framing, the color palette is meant to be one that is warm and welcoming for any child and actually any person.
I love how curiosity threads itself through, not only this conversation, but in your book, Stay Curious.
Curious and kind. That's the motto. That's the kind of core values of this book. Get curious with your feelings. Stay kind to yourself as you're exploring that. Be kind to others. Everyone has got a lot going on that we don't see. It's below the surface. And it's the same for children. So that classmate that maybe you have a prickly relationship with, be a little bit curious. What's going on with them? Be as kind as you can be. Be kinder than you can be.
Are you going to write one for adults?
I'd love to. I'd love to do a, so the hope is in time, tween-teen kind of scaled-up version. Focuses a little bit maybe on friendships and anxiety a bit more. Isla, maybe you can help me be part of that. And one for adults. Yeah, absolutely. Right now the book is available as well in English and Afrikaans. In time, I know Penguin and I hope to be able to publish it in at least one African language. Reaching people in their home language is so key, especially when talking about sensitive things like feelings. Yeah, so we'll see. You can see how we go at myfeelingsjournal_SA on Instagram and watch. I think as soon as there's new versions, we'll see them there.
Rebecca Morn Brown and Isla Cameron, thank you so much for joining us. And I must mention that for every 15 books sold, one book is going to be donated to a low-resource school. My Feelings Journal, a little book to help with big feelings by Rebecca Morn Brown.
And that fascinating conversation brings us to the end, well, almost to the end of our book choice show today. Before we go, I just want to add my 5 cents on 3 of the titles that were mentioned in today's show. I read Mad Mabel by Sally Hepworth. I'm sure you heard that review. And I've got to tell you, I loved it. It is legitimately, not pretend, actually really laugh out loud funny. But I also cried. So it's funny, it's moving, it's brilliantly written. I cannot recommend it highly enough. Of all the titles I've heard about on today's show, it's the one I enjoyed the most. I also read The Four Principles by Adrian Gore, the founder of Discovery, and I enjoyed it very much. Not only is it a business book and a philosophy book, but it's also full of stories. Adrian Gore talks about the four principles that led him to finding Discovery, and there is a lot of storytelling about those four principles. So, for example, the story of how Discovery got to work at mending potholes in Johannesburg, the story how Adrian Gore brought together a lot of his business friends and they did what they can to help us get through the electricity crisis and load shedding. There's also a really great story off one of the principles about how Adrian Gore decided to try run the 5-minute mile and how that went for him. So I recommend that title too. And finally, since it's Women's Month in South Africa, I think we should be celebrating female South African authors. And there couldn't be a better choice with Shafinaz Hassim's The Burfi Seller's Daughter. I have read previous titles by Shafinaz Hassim, and I can tell you that she's a wonderful author. I very much enjoyed her books, and I can recommend them to you too. And so with that, and my greatest thanks to Mzuma Keita and our publishers, Penguin Random House, Jonathan Ball and Pan Macmillan, and our wonderful, wonderful sponsors, Exclusive Books, who allow us to be right here today talking books with you, our dear listeners. And so thank you to you too for being here. Without you, I'm not sure we would be on air. Thank you for listening to us talking about books and joining us every second Monday. We're playing out with Birds Will Sing by Black Sunshine, one of my favorite tracks. And until next time, I want to wish you very happy reading. FMR.